The Seth Green Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Seth Green team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Kleine.
We are continuing in our study of Ephesians, and we're going to finish up the first chapter of Ephesians. And this is one of Paul's prison epistles. This was something that he wrote, writing back to the church that he had spent so much time with, and correcting some problems that were there. And we're going to begin in verse 20. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want, or I also have it in the bulletin. And to begin with, we have all heard of Buddhism and Buddha. And actually, back in the 5th century BC, there was a young man. He was a prince, Siddhartha Gautama, I believe is how it's pronounced. And he lived in India. And he grew up with only the finest of things. As a matter of fact, his father would make sure that he was never allowed to leave the palace because his father did not want him to see poor people or sick people or people that were hurting or in pain. He was protected all of his young life, but at 29 years of age, he decided to sneak out of the palace, and he there saw for the very first time the condition of man. That there was pain, that there was disappointment, that there was discouragement, that there was sickness. And so he began his journey, the journey that would end in enlightenment. And in fact, the term Buddha comes from the Hindi word, which means to be enlightened. It comes with experience. Sometimes you'll hear Terry and I will kind of tease each other. I'll call her Budi, and she'll call me Buddha, and it means old man and old woman in Hindi. There's just a little bit of a different accent on different syllable there, but the Buddha means the enlightened one, to come to realization, to come to enlightenment, to understand that what you see here doesn't matter. What is going around you doesn't matter. It's your relationship with the One, your relationship with the Almighty that really matters. And so this was the beginning of the religion of Buddhism, and it really started out of India. And so what Buddha saw was that your expectations in life many times didn't measure up to what you were actually experiencing. We wanted one thing, but we experienced something else. And so he came up with the idea that everything that you see around you really doesn't exist. It's all just imaginary. It doesn't exist. And it's you and your relationship with your God and how you can meditate and become one with the universe and all of that that really matters. And the message of Jesus Christ some 500 or 600 years later was a little bit different than that. In that, yes, we could see what was going on around us. But we could have an effect on what was going on around us, because it's not that we become one with the universe, but that the God, the creator of the universe, puts his spirit in us. Amen? And so, dropping back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, which we ended up with that last Sunday, in which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Item number one this morning, Jesus just isn't a good guy. Amen? Jesus isn't somebody that's got an in with God. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is far above all rule. You take the most powerful ruler on the face of this earth, he can't even begin to compare with the authority that Jesus has. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And right there, God just lets us know through His Holy Spirit that when we know Jesus Christ, we are in communion with the one who has all power. You know, as I was looking at this picture in our bulletin, and I was reminded of the time when we went to Maracaibo and helped establish the Reformed Catholic Church there, I was thinking yesterday, I think that would be a nice little vacation for Terry and I. I think we need to go back to Venezuela. Terry loves to speak Spanish, and that's what they speak down there. And after all, I've got an in with the president. Or at least that's what I've been accused of, anyhow. And I got to thinking, well, you know, what difference would it make if I could call President Chavez by his first name? Hey, Hugo, how's the day going? Anything I can help you out with, give you any words of knowledge or anything like that? What can I do for you today to make your life a little bit brighter? You know, and you hear people talk about how, oh, they have this friend that is, very powerful and influential, or they have this acquaintance that is very, very rich, or, you know, my uncle was, you know, in this great big important position in government. You know, all that may seem, pretty exciting, but we know Jesus, who is far above all rule, all authority, all power, and all dominion, and every name that is named. You know, folks, we don't take the name of Jesus seriously enough. The Word of God says that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And one of the things that I enjoy as I minister in the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Syriac Orthodox Church, that as we pray, whenever we mention the name of Jesus, we bow. The ministers will bow. The deacons will bow. The people in the congregation will bow. Why? Because the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And these folks have enough faith that they take it literally. Oh, we have just mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. And so they bow. And we Jesus is our elder brother. You know, we just kind of get a little too familiar with the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Amen? At the name of Jesus, sickness is healed. At the name of Jesus, tortured minds receive peace. We need to fully comprehend, and if the church ever did fully comprehend, just the power of the name of Jesus. And it says not only in this age, but in the age to come. It's not like you have something. You ever get one of those, I like this, these little gift cards. You'd get them for a Christmas present or a birthday present. And so you get this card, and it's a $25 card or whatever it is, and you stick it in your wallet. And then what do? You promptly forget it. Exactly. And then 2 years later, you're cleaning out your wallet, and you say, oh, look at here. Here's a $25 gift certificate to wherever. And so you go to that place, wherever it is, restaurant or whatever, and you have your fine meal, and you pull out the little gift card, and you give it to them, and they come back and they say, we're sorry, this card is only worth $3.79 because you didn't use it in the first year that it was issued. There was a service charge against it, and so now, you know, although somebody paid $25 for the card, you can only spend $3 on it, and the rest is all gone. It has lost its value. But you know, the value of the name of Jesus never decreases. Amen? That is the one name that Satan is going to fear, not only now, but in the age to come. And I want you to see something, if we can get this into our hearts today. Verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All right? Now, he put all things in subjection to Jesus. How much did God put in subjection to Jesus? All things. Most things. Everything except sickness. Okay? Sickness is not subject to Jesus, right? No, all things. Well, all things except financial problems, because financial problems are not subject to the name of Jesus, right? No, that's not what it says. He put all things in subjection, that means under control, under his feet, and gave him, that's Jesus, as head over all things to the church. In other words, we're the body, verse 23, which is his body, the church, we are the body. He is the head. Who makes the decisions in your body? Your head? Hopefully your head makes the decisions, right? The head, yeah, hopefully. If you don't, there are other diseases that describe that malady. But hopefully the head controls the body. As a matter of fact, everything about your anatomy is made to protect your brain. And so if you start to get cold, if you start to lose blood, whatever, the body will automatically start shutting down external portions to make sure that the brain is cared for. Because it is the brain that's the most important part of your body. In the same way, Jesus Christ is the head. He's the brain of the church. And I want you to see something. His body. Okay, I want us all to say, I am his body. Say it. I am his body. All right, we are his body, which is his body, the fullness of him. All right, we're praying that God will reveal himself and his power to this world. Well, guess what Paul says he will do to do that? He uses the church. The church, the body of Christ, is the fullness of Jesus. This is it. In this life, until Jesus comes back to earth, it doesn't get any better than this. We are the body of Christ. And in us, he releases his fullness. If we are willing to take it and to walk in it. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Is Jesus filling you today? Are you full of Jesus today? The Bible says you are. Okay? And so, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, the Bible says that Jesus has filled you, and through you, as we are each part of the body of Christ, we're going to affect God's plan in this place. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus, for some reason, God says, you know, those people down there at the Grand Parkway Apartments, they are so important to me. Their souls are so important to me. I'm going to send Jesus to walk these hallways to express my love to these people. I mean, that'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? If God were to send Jesus down here, you know, how would you like to open up your door to get the newspaper and you look up and here comes Jesus? White robe, sandals, beard, you know, just walking down the hallway, talking to people. It'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? But you see, the thing is, if I'm reading this correctly, he already has sent Jesus because he's put us here. He's put you guys in your neighborhood. He has sent Jesus to your neighborhood. He sent Jesus to your neighborhood because he sent you. Amen? Ruthie, he sent Jesus to that place where you live because he sent you. See, it's pretty awesome. The problem is that we just don't realize what God has planned for us. You know, Terry and I, the first full-time ministry that we had, well, the first full-time ministry that paid, okay, was at the Flint Rescue Mission. We made $1,000 a month. All right. And we had to pay our own Blue Cross Blue Shield out of that, which was about $350 a month. So, didn't leave a whole lot left, all right? But that was our first full-time ministry. And the reason that we were there is we were brought in to work with the inner city children, to work with the street kids. And folks, it was an eye-opener for me. And if it was an eye-opener for me, I know it was an eye-opener for Terry. Because there were little 9 and 10-year-old girls that were selling their bodies so that they could go out and buy a soft drink. They were prostituting themselves for something to eat. 25 cents, 50 cents. These were the kind of young people that we were dealing with. And I don't know if you can imagine how hardened a little 9-year-old girl can be who has been forced to live that way. But they were pretty tough. They didn't accept love easily because they knew that somebody wanted something from them. They knew that nothing came free. And yet, as Terry and I would work with these young people and share the love of God with them and make a little breakfast for them and do little crafts with them and spend every Saturday morning with them, what the most endearing memory that I have of that time is Terry sitting in a chair and especially that one little girl with her head in Terry's lap, just receiving love. Terry just stroking her hair. Oh yeah, it was matted down and probably hadn't been washed in a week or two or a month or whatever. But Terry was there giving that little girl unconditional love. And I don't know what happened to any of those children after we left. But Terry and I recognized that God put us there to be the fullness of Jesus in the inner city. To do everything that Jesus would have done. That's what the fullness means. To do everything that Jesus would have done to touch those little lives for Him. And so the challenge that each of us have is we are already the fullness of Jesus in this place, in our homes, in our apartments. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel like it. Pastor, I feel so unprepared. I'm overwhelmed. I just can't do that. I can't reach out and touch somebody like Jesus would. Yeah, that's right, you can't. But Jesus can. And so when we come to the realization that all God is looking for is men and women here today that will say, yes, I'll reach out and I'll love this person. I'll reach out and I'll be kind to this person. I'll reach out and I'll do this thing for this person. That's being the fullness of Christ wherever you are. And you know what? I got an idea. You know, there are some statistics that say that and by 2020 or whatever, Islam will be the dominant religion in the world. It's going to surpass Christianity. It's going to surpass everything. I've got the idea that if the church were to get a hold of Ephesians 20 through 23, we just might put Islam on the run to understand we are the fullness of Jesus in the place where He has put us. Father, we thank You for Your Word.
It doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.